You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Just listen to the rhythm of their hearts.
Welcome.
What?
I'm sorry. Come again?
From the Indianapolis Convention Center, welcome to Around the NFL. Dan Hansis on a riser filled with heroes. Many of them, anyway. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, and the Wolf, Connie Fox.
Yo.
That I feel like the money reads have been pretty fire lately. Like we're rolling in that department.
I love that one. That's a good one.
In fact, turn it up in my headphones.
What's that here?
How could Wes not like this song?
There's a wolf. There's a wolf. There's a wolf. Come pull your house down.
Just such a great song.
It is.
Blasting over the convention center.
Everybody loves it here.
So great was Money's tag today that we're going to have him on the show later. Here at the Combine. All right.
Still going.
If Ricky's going to leave it high in the mix, I'm going to listen to it. Beautiful. Money and Lance Zierlein are going to be here a little bit later to give us a primer. Connie, you gave me that word earlier.
That's right. I'm assisting in words today.
It's good to have assistance in words because last night was a big one on the town in Indianapolis. We had dinner and drinks. The fact that we're on the stage, Connie, shows, again, a level of professionalism mm-hmm. that you don't see everywhere.
We faced a lot of adversity today,
right.
And we have fought through it. And I think that
we're taping this at 4 p.m.
Shut up, Greg.
No one needs to know that.
Let them have their human victory.
I brought you guys a gift. It's on the ground because I forgot to bring it up in that
nice.
Bag over there.
Nice presentation.
Erica,
can you grab that bag real quick? It's for you, too. This is something that I absolutely thought of you guys for when it was bought. And essentially, I just need
legitimately excited to see what this
I just
is.
Need to get this out of my hotel room.
The real gift
is the
bitterness and yelling that Erica's going to give you later for having made
Ricky
her do
was
that.
Really nimble up and down the riser there.
I'm giving you guys all of my snacks because they cannot be in my room anymore. So I have I have a half a thing of Pringles.
Well, this is not even half. Maybe a fourth full.
Reese's Thins that are individually wrapped. These are good.
Those are opened as well.
Uh-huh. I have some popcorn in here, some fruit snacks, some cookies.
Why do you have all this food in
your
room?
It's weird that you would just be ordering all that stuff at like 1 in the morning.
Some chocolate-covered almonds.
Yeah, munchies perhaps?
No, well, I was just hungry. Right. So, you know, when it hits, it hits.
You're a wonderful woman, and thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
And because we are gentlemen, Erica, you get the first draft pick of the grab bag. Mark, as a fooditarian, we're going to slot you in at 4, but then you get to double up there, 4 or 5.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
I mean, not all the items seem slightly concerning based on what I'm looking at. But
and
that's
the
okay.
and the Pringles, I know I'm not supposed to mention them by name, sorry, are it's half eaten
the
already,
unique
so
potato chip shape.
There is only
Why
half
can't
of
you
them.
Mention them by name?
Not a sponsor, not a paid sponsor, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, you're a broadcaster.
Pringle-esque. Don't give them the milk Pringle-esque. When you can... Have right. sex
you're
with the cow?
No,
or
no,
what is
that,
no,
that isn't
not
it. That
the saying.
Not why the pay for the cow if you're getting
the milk
for free?
Yes.
I like mine better.
Let's get into the show. Yes,
broken.
Lance and Money will talk combine guys they are in love with, the guys that are jumping off the page as they begin the process here. You know, drills will begin in a couple days here in Indianapolis right after we fly out of town. Because the press conferences for the coaches and general managers are over here at Indianapolis, and that's why we're heading out of town. But the combine is just getting going. So Lance and Money are going to give us a nice primer on that. Also, guest galore, Bengals director of player personnel and a leading figure in that organization's rise, Duke Tobin will join us, a former Chris Wessling favorite.
Mm. I remember a feature Chris wrote at the combine about Duke Tobin. I think that's a good example of he wanted to be a Bengals fan secretly, that he enjoyed that mm-hmm. they actually had a real personnel guy that wasn't a member of the Brown family, and at the time we thought had built maybe the most talented roster in the league minus their quarterback.
Yeah, and Wes was not a press conference guy where he's, you know, marching around yelling questions at person A, B, or C. But Tobin was like the
he
one guy.
He did like
guy
four
he,
or five
yeah,
questions
he
in a row for that
fired
article.
Fired a few off at him. So.
Yep. That, I mean, that tells you so much if Wes was firing off presser
right.
questions. Also, the head coach of the Houston Texans, Lovie Smith, will join us on the show. But before any of that, let's get you caught up on the news of the day from Indianapolis.
Hey, whatever Tom wants to do, Tom should be able to do. He's given us all enough, I think, at this point in his life. And, you know, if he thinks he's done, then he's done. If he's not, then it wouldn't shock me.
Do you believe it?
I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Josh McDaniels, new coach of the Raiders, longtime offensive consigliere to Tom Brady up there in New England. Yet another voice in the chorus expecting Tom Brady to be back. Maybe not this year, but next. A little taste of this this day in combine history.
McDaniels was very loose and like laughing a lot. He almost is pointedly presenting a different figure than he did in Denver, like knowing the mistakes that he made there. But it says a lot where we're at that he got more questions about Tom Brady than he did Derek Carr, who we don't know like his future in Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, that is the power of Brady. Let's get into the news. Big news around the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, we talked about it on Tuesday's show. Kyler Murray and all the drama that is around Murray and his agents, Jerry Maguire-esque mission statement about the future, and the Cardinals say they want him back. There's all sorts of melodrama. And then a little, Greg, this is interesting. Out of nowhere, we learn on Wednesday that both general manager Steve Keimbaum and head coach Cliff Kingsbury, a lightning rod figure, are there for the long term, signed to multi-year extensions. Connie, this had to be surprising to you. It was to me.
I didn't see this coming, but it's good news. It's good news for us because hopefully this means that there will be a resolution at some point with Kyler Murray, because now they can focus on getting those negotiations done. Obviously, these negotiations for Keim and Kingsbury were being done behind closed doors because that is what's normally done. That's what's normally done with the players too. But this whole thing with Kyler Murray is playing out so publicly. The statement was so aggressive from Eric Burkhart, but he also reps Cliff Kingsbury. So there's a ton of communication going on between the two of them. Steve Keim said that he's had constant dialogue with Burkhart, obviously, about Kyler, but I didn't see this coming. It was a bit of a surprise.
I mean, I wonder if it leads to a split, though, because it seems like if you're Kyler Murray, this power struggle took sort of like a hard right turn into darkness. He's had just a terrible 3 weeks in terms of his Q rating. We talked about the messaging from the agent, you know, 24 hours ago. And it's like, who does the organization back? Like, we talked about like this, the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll dynamic, how would that have gone? Well, it's like they clearly backed the coach and the GM. And it makes me just wonder if all these whispers that have been out there about Kyler Murray are coming from deep within the organization, and that they don't want to look at this player as someone that right now they want to extend. He's forced his hand on that front. And it seems uglier to me than we ever would have thought 2 or 3 months ago this organization would be in this place.
The more I read and see about this, I wonder if those whispers are coming from the very top or near the very top. Because there was a column by Dan Bickley on Wednesday that ownership is very likely seething about Kyler Murray's recent reactions, if you know the Bidwells. And Bickley is a guy who's... He's like the guy, you know how every town kind of has
Got
the guy as the columnist?
Need a guy.
Yep. He's the guy. And you don't need to know that much about, you know, journalism to know he's that, you know, where he's getting it from. And you know that he's not just writing that out there. And he was doing a lot of speculating about how upset the organization would be about how Kyler Murray has handled this situation and maybe how he handled the playoff game. And then he also presented the other side of the argument, which is that there are a lot of players who haven't been happy with the Cardinals organization for a long time, including this very week when Steve Keim spoke about how much they would like to have Chandler Jones back, and Chandler Jones, quote, retweeted it with laughing emojis to the end of the line. Whoa. Like, he's using up that character count. And Tyrann Mathieu, there's been other players that believe, and this was Bickley's words, but I just think you got to trust someone that knows the situation better than you. And I think it was very informative that you have a lot of players that believe this group in Keim, who one person texted me this morning and said, like, what pictures does he have of the Bidwells? Because they just signed him to 27. That players think that Keim and Kingsbury say things very differently in public than they present themselves in private, and that they feel that they're a little two-faced.
Well, and we talked about it at the end of the season, and I was getting on Kyler a little bit, and Greg, you were more in the it's a cliff issue. And the thing that I did agree with you on was that Kingsbury cannot get a pass for the way this past season ended, and that the program, yes, I know they made it to the playoffs and they started great, but it was such an ugly fade. It felt like it negated a lot of the growths that you saw from the year. And it felt like it made sense that this was going to be an important referendum on Kingsbury this season, and you let the year play out and see where the organization is, and then you also can continue to track Kyler. Instead, they go all in on a GM and coach that, to me, still are not proven commodities. And you potentially isolate and frustrate the franchise quarterback.
What was up with 27 being the extension? What happened to 24, 25?
Yeah.
Like, who gets a 6-year extension in the NFL that's not like
very
Super Bowl winners?
This is like the Panthers and Sam Darnold, I feel like, just picking up extensions. And listen, for me, I'm wondering why, like, how this plays out in the locker room with his teammates, Kyler Murray. Like, when they see their quarterback scrubbing the Instagram and then doing this with – it's an aggressive move. That was an aggressive statement to put out there. Like, how is that taken? Because I would be like, come on, man, what's going on here?
And that article that Dan – or that Greg is referencing talked about the fact that this is a player that, you know, there were whispers he took himself out of that playoff game. That's not going to look good to your teammates.
Well, he refused to go back into the game.
But same, I mean, in general, it's just like that's the exact opposite message you want to send, is I'm your franchise quarterback for the next half decade or decade. And that maybe he looks at the money he's making right now. I think he's 38th in pay for quarterbacks, and looks at baseball. He's a two-star athlete and says, I could go to the Oakland A's and have a career that would pay me more money, where I'm not putting myself in harm's way in an offense that wants me to dash to and fro with my feet.
I think this thing's happened. I think whatever the odds are, and we're, you know, this isn't a rainmaker here, and actually we're really not supposed to get into all this, but there probably are odds of if Kyler Murray's going to be on the Cardinals this year or not, and I'm sure it would be, you'd be picking the underdog to say he's elsewhere.
Sure.
I think I'm taking that.
Marky, I said that to you yesterday. I said, Marky, we don't give up hope. We could get a big domino
It might take a while, because Bickley threw out Kyler for Deshaun Watson as one of
Bickley,
the two major options, almost that they're trying to put that out into the ether as something like that the Cardinals
next offseason or months
so
from now.
It's so messy
with
that
DeAndre
actually
Hopkins?
I can kind of believe it.
But Dan, baby with the bathwater, I was saying that in general, the quarterback movement, there was all this nonsense, and that we didn't know all this about Kyler as much a day ago, but all the other quarterback movement, I don't buy into at all until it happens.
I'm
Wake me up.
What is with the baby in the bathwater?
I don't know.
What does that even?
In general, you throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't do that. In general, you don't throw the baby out. The bathwater is probably soiled to some degree. You want that out of your
but
house.
But who is that? Like a would that have been a problem back in the day? Like whoops, threw away the baby.
It's just general advice.
If they didn't like it, kid, in the old times, you just leave them in the woods or whatever.
That's
my God.
They don't do that as much
the old
anymore.
Times.
Well, not today. You're right. In the olden days.
In other quarterback news, yes, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is another huge domino, but like Mark's saying, this one is a situation. This situation doesn't feel like it's going to end with Wilson playing for a different team. The Seattle Seahawks and their head coach were here.
You know, probably be traded while we're at dinner, but that's fine.
Right. Well, you know, that would be wild. But Pete Carroll spoke about the future and says, we don't anticipate Russell going anywhere.
At this time of year, you know, this conversation is about everybody. We talk about everybody. And that's commonplace for us to have conversations with teams about all of the players, particularly marquee players. And that's not changed. It's been the same every year we've been here. So it's the same as it's been. We have no intention of making any move there. But the conversations, John has to field those, he always has. But nothing specific.
That's always annoyed me about Jamal Adams, now a member of the Seahawks. He got so angry with his former team, the Jets, for picking up the phone when a phone call. We'll pick up the phone if you want to come to us with a Godfather offer. In this case, it would be Russell Wilson. I think that makes sense, but at the same time, I think they know they're still better with Russell Wilson, especially where Carroll is in his career at age 70.
I don't know what to believe because there was a report out there that, like, anyone calling Schneider, at least the answer right now has been he's not available. Which would make sense, sort of, even if they were interested in trading him, that would be the leverage move at this point in the offseason, maybe. But I just can't imagine it. And I don't see where he would want to go anyways.
It only makes sense to me in that the quarterback market right now is so bad for teams that need a quarterback because there's no one in this draft class. The free agent market is so thin. You have, like, who knows what's going to happen with Rodgers, and then Wilson is the other name. So a team could call up and just offer them, like, the bank.
Well, the one team that stands out to me, because it typically very conservative, Ron Rivera on the quarterback front, the way they've operated with quarterbacks in Washington so far, he's talked over and over, like, you might have to go spend a lot and go make a big move to get the guy, but I just don't think the door is open for them because, and I get all this could just be lies. Maybe no one on the planet tells the truth, but Russell Wilson also basically shot down the concept of going to the Commanders as a concept as well. So
he has some choice in the matter, and if you're choosing organizations.
I like the way you said Commanders. Well,
I mean, yeah. I'm still getting used to it. It feels like a name from a football movie with no NFL
licensing.
It's
not too late to change. Well, okay, I guess
it is definitely
too late.
They've already changed the crest, though.
At least they got that right now.
It is too late. Carroll, one thing I found interesting in that presser, though, was he was fairly noncommittal about Bobby Wagner being back. When you think the Seahawks, you think Bobby Wagner making a ton of money, definitely not like a top three or four middle linebacker like he used to be. So that could be a surprise cut coming up.
Interesting. Where would he slot in on the old Greg Rosenthal free agency 101?
Ouch.
Where is he in his career? I mean,
it's tricky. I tend to overrate like the name brand guys who, you know, maybe you get a couple good years out of him when he shouldn't be that high, but he'd probably be in the top 40.
In other news, thank you, Greg.
Ouch, 40th.
That's pretty good.
There's 200
slots
guys below Teddy Bridgewater.
Exactly.
Just
Greg
gonna
in his
mention,
mind was like,
you know,
all right, where is Teddy? Must put this player below
the Teddy line
to raise
that's
Teddy.
A real thing.
Anyway, speaking Wednesday on Good Morning Football, which is a program on NFL Network. Connie, you are prominently involved in the weekend version.
That's right, Saturdays, but that's not happening in the offseason. So.
Not in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Don't check it out.
Get ready.
It won't be there.
Get excited for the return, wherever that might be. Anyway, John Lynch was on Good Morning Football, the general manager of the Niners. And yes, obviously, the questions around the Niners are tied back to the reports about where is Trey Lance? Where is his development? What's Jimmy G's future? All of that. And John Lynch says, don't worry. Anybody that's floating ideas that we're a little worried about Trey Lance, it's bull. It's bunk.
You know, it's pretty obvious. You know, we put a lot into Trey Lance, and we're loving the development of Trey. The development was tremendous. I think Kyle did a great job of finding ways to develop him without playing a ton of football. The fact that he got some action and got to go get a taste of it was great, and I loved watching him get better in those games.
Sure.
And, you know, I tell people he's everything we thought he was when we traded a lot to go get him and more. Trey is made of the right stuff, both talent-wise and in his spirit, who he is, the intangibles. Guys like playing for him. Guys like being around him, and we're certainly excited
all
to
right,
see what
right,
he can
right.
do.
Yeah,
Connie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the lady doth protest too much. Not that he's a lady.
You're right.
But,
well,
they, you know, the saying.
Another a term from olden days. So,
the key yeah. there for me was, you know, they traded a lot to get him. So now it's time for Trey Lance to deliver to make sure that John Lynch is proven correct. That's exactly what this is. Meanwhile, Jimmy G has to have shoulder surgery. And John Lynch also talked about that today and talked about the fact that a lot of teams have interest. He was, like, so open with Peter Schrager on GMFB.
Schrag bombs all over the place.
I know.
Well, that's like a for sale sign. I felt like this is a house that's for sale that you just realize you have to get a whole new septic system into. And now they're, like, trying to paper over it with, like, pretty pictures. You know, like, first of all, there's so many things to have problems with what he said. We like Trey Lance so much we didn't play him after Jimmy G had a shoulder injury that he needed surgery from and that he threw the ball like 39% completion percentage afterwards. Like, they should have played Trey Lance. They would have had a better chance to make the Super Bowl.
It was such a glowing review of Trey Lance's rookie season that was quite mystical or strange to us. I mean, that's not how it played out on the field. So
John Lynch also talked to Amazon about being a color commentator, which
right.
is weird. And they have a lot going on this offseason. Jaquiski Tartt, Kaywan Williams, Laken Tomlinson, Arden Key, a lot of free agents who played big-time minutes for them. So he's going to be a busy man.
Yeah, so it's time to get that focus back in the San Francisco 49ers. You know, now that those negotiations did not pan out,
those talks. Mm-hmm.
By the way,
well, you're saying he had the op. We don't know the details.
I'm just joking. But meanwhile, Al Michaels is still on the 1 yard line.
I know.
You
what
know,
is
Al's
going
not getting
on
any
with
younger.
That?
Right. Either go into the goal line, or you know, kick the field goal. I don't know.
He's at least back at the six for a delay of game.
I need to know what's going on.
Amazon has had Al Michaels at the 1 yard line for 3.5 weeks now, waiting to see if they can get a partner.
Right. He needs a partner.
And I got a lot of questions about this deal.
Could have been John Lynch. Well, what about Connie
Fox? What are your questions?
And Al Michaels.
Just how it's going to work. What it's going to look like beyond who's in the booth, who's on the road for the pregame show.
No,
how that work out?
I got a lot of questions,
and well, I need some answers.
I know someone who had
Connie
that
Fox
job.
Connie Fox for TNF Sideline.
Thank you.
Home run.
There we go. That's why I came on today.
finally in the news, before we get to our wonderful guests, first impressions of Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins, the new head coach. Everyone fascinated with the man. Big scrum of reporters around him. Mark, I know you had boots on the ground. Are you in love with him, or is it a Nathaniel Hackett solo joint for you?
Not a solo joint. He joins Nathaniel Hackett in that world. Greg and I were, you know, shoulder to shoulder watching Mike McDaniel speak. And it's just the little ways that he phrases things. Someone just asked a general football question, and he could have just said, like, coach speak, like, you know, we don't have an answer for that right now with the offseason. He goes, we will adapt in ways it's impossible for me to forecast at this time.
Classic alien behavior, by
the way. I love it.
I adore it. He also said, they asked about, like, you know, finding another version of Debo Samuel. He said, Debo wasn't found by looking for the next Debo. I mean, I just think that he is, maybe this thing in 2 or 3 years melts because, like, the football heads are like, get this sort of nerdy-looking guy out of here. He's not
he
like the rest of us.
Or he just fails.
Or he fails.
More losses than wins.
That's probably
the big fact.
It's not going to be the bullies and the media sending him out.
He is a departure in terms of how he speaks, how he looks, how he does everything, and I'm on board. I enjoy it.
I am on record when he was hired. I was a little – I understand there's only 32 big chairs. I think there's a lot of built-in risk that he doesn't have control over around the Dolphins right now.
Yep.
So he's going to be facing challenges that are unique to him. Potentially here that could really affect the trajectory of the organization. However, I'm with you. When he's a different dude, he's got a different vibe. He's got a sense of humor. All that stuff is welcome in our league.
I'm so happy about it. I got to plug in more on him because I was like, I missed the press conference.
Mark already called him because Greg and I both like McDaniel.
I like McDaniel.
We both got in on Hackett yesterday too, and it bothered Mark.
No, this
so
is the
I'm
off season.
Off
I am not.
Well, the
hip hop
dancing is right. really what caught me.
You should have seen how mad Mark was when he found out that I too.
Right, I didn't.
Didn't I actually a minute later turn around and say that I found it refreshing that you actually liked one of these coaches?
Right. What? Two things about Mark that you get to know is he falls in love easy and he's very possessive.
Right.
Well, that's not all the qualities. Like that's the,
no,
that's
just coming, two main know, ones.
Just, no, you just
that's just
it's
two.
Just like you think you know me, but you don't know almost 2% of me.
Now I don't want to project too much, but okay. I like McDaniel up there because he's one thing as a coach that I personally think we need more of, which is spacey. Representation. He seems kind of like a spacey.
Okay.
He's a little spacey.
Like I've talked to people who've worked with him and stuff. Like he's a little spacey. You know, he's sort of mind is drifting.
Whenever
like,
you can have
see
the biggest trait of Adam Gase, you got to grab it.
No,
not
in a bad way. Because look, I feel I'm a little spacey. Emeka, my wife, is spacey. We come from long lines of families of spacey, and you don't usually see those spacey type of people in the big chair.
It's an experiment.
It's nice.
Spacey bloodline.
It's an experiment. Good luck to the men. Not too much good luck. He's in the AFC East, but whatever. That's what's happening in the news. All right. Let's take a break, and then we are going to welcome in the great Lovie Smith.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs...
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you,
you
have to do that
saying?
With everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
All right, this is real exciting. We are very happy to be joined by the new head coach of the Houston Texans, Lovie Smith. Lovie, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Thanks for having me on. Exciting day, exciting time, of course. Texas guy, high school product, getting a chance to lead his professional football team is pretty neat.
Very cool.
Plus, you get the vibe of our show right off the bat. I appreciated you. You seemed to want to help Colleen when her chair started to break as she sat down very professionally.
Did you notice their reaction?
Yes, too. A lot of gentlemen down south.
Well,
we did
very little, actually. That's also up to par. So.
You know, they also, you know, you were on the riser doing your press. This isn't press. This is like family, obviously, loving now, us talking. But, like,
sure thing.
our colleague Mark is often laments that men's fashion is just not moving forward. But when you have the beard like that, that's almost a fashion accessory that raises everything
up. Yeah, I did want to just know that because, you know, when we saw you in the past, the beard was not part of the milieu, but you've made a sharp and wonderful aesthetic right turn here. How did it come about?
Well, times change. You know, I'm getting older, number one, and you're kind of embracing that a little bit. But, you know, a lot of times you go on vacation, you just kind of let it go.
Sure.
And I did that one summer, and my wife of 42 years loved it, so it's been with me since.
There you go.
How has this first month been as Texans head coach? One thing that struck me when you were up there, you were asked about the Deshaun Watson situation, and you said you were looking forward to putting it in the rearview mirror, that you couldn't wait for that to happen. Like, what will that happening solved one way or another do for you as a head coach?
Well, just that. I mean, it's there. I mean, elephant in the room, whatever you want to say. You know, Deshaun is a heck of a football player. And, you know, sometimes divorce is a good thing, but you just want it to play out as much as anything. We're going to have a 2022 season, and we need to have clarity on some things. But time will do that, and I'm confident of that, and I can't wait for that day to get here.
You said that excellent players need to be playing somewhere. Just out of curiosity, when you take over as head coach, you were the DC obviously before, so you were in the building, but Deshaun was, well, he was in the building, but he wasn't on the team last year and all that. Did you have a one-on-one talk with Deshaun about whether there was any path forward with him in Houston?
Well, I've had discussions with Deshaun just from, you know, last year of him being in the building. I of course knew who he was and enjoyed my time talking with him, but we haven't had those type of conversations since I became the head football coach.
What are some of the advantages of being able to build this thing from the ground up? I feel like so many people look at the situation in Houston and they talk about how many needs are there and it's all about the negative, but that's got to be positive for you to know that you can build this thing from scratch almost.
Exactly, and my glass is half full. And when you do build it from there, I mean, your guys coming in, all coming in, we understand the situation, but we all look at the opportunity as much as anything. That's what how my life has played out. It's about getting opportunities, and we have that. We have a model on what we would like for our football team to look like. You know, as I said, you know, being the head football coach here, you kind of started the process getting the staff together and guys that believe in this way that we're going to win football games. But it is about the players. The process has started. Being around Nick Cassero last year, we got a chance to, you know, get our profiles together on what we're looking for at each player. And I think we did a pretty good job of getting some guys in last year. But to build on that, you know, from game one to game two, there's normally a pretty big improvement. Year one to year two, we're expecting a big improvement too.
I mean, we saw growth from Davis Mills.
Yes, we did.
And, you know, you at this point have to – you're in charge of the whole thing, and you're going to ask – you have to get a billion questions about who's going to start week one and who it would be. I mean, Davis Mills, I think we just had some draft nicks on who said he would be favorable to any of the quarterbacks in this draft. But do you feel like you need to go find competition for him, or do you feel comfortable rolling with him at this point?
Davis Mills in general, I had a chance to be around him an awful lot last year. Got a chance to see his demeanor, how he handled situations. Loved everything about him. And his arrow, of course, is pointed that way. But every position on our football team, you know, injuries happen. You need more than just one guy that you feel comfortable with. So that'll be our plan as we, you know, build this model of what our football team would look like.
He was better than the top two picks in the draft. So it's a little sore subject with Dan here. He's a Jets fan, but
yeah, we don't need to say that.
It's just a fact that we watched the games, the last four or five games of the year. It's a fact.
I'm biased, of course. We start with that, but I did get a chance to see, and there are some good young quarterbacks coming up through our league. But I thought Davis compared with those guys, so that's why, you know, Stanford guy, smart. He's a better athlete than people give him credit for, also. So, and you know, another year with Pep Hamilton, you know, coaching him. We're excited about it.
I'm really interested about the perspective that you gained from, you know, this is your third head coaching job, yes, having been in Chicago and Tampa Bay and then going down to the collegiate level, mm-hmm, at Illinois. So what did that – how did that change the way that you view things and run things?
Well, I think every stop along the way, I learned something. You know, just experience teaches you so much. 2004, when I first moved into that head coach's seat, there was so much I didn't know, I thought I knew. And a lot of those things, I mean, it is different coming in. You know, I said some of the things as simple as, I'm going to call defenses. I never understood why you become a head football coach and all of a sudden you quit coaching. You know, last year as a defense coordinator, I coached the nickel position. So some things like that, and just on how I'm going to do things, the best of who I am and all the experience that I've gotten from all those other situations I've been in, you know, hopefully the Texans will, you know, benefit from that.
You hear that all the time. You mentioned the Jets, Robert Saleh. It was written a lot. D.C. in San Francisco gets the job. He's in more of a CEO role. He's, you know, keeping an eye on all sides of the team. But it makes sense if your expertise, if you will, is defense. You want that head coach to be prominently involved with the defense. So I hear that.
There's a lot of ways of doing things, and but I feel pretty strongly about that. And you look at, for some reason, too, defensive coaches don't do it. There's a lot of offensive coaches in our league. They all call plays. So, again, I feel comfortable doing that way. And people say, well, there's so much other stuff you have to be concerned with. Well, yeah, and there's enough time to do that too.
I mean, you were part of a Tony Dungy staff, and then, of course, you had a similar defense in Chicago that changed the league, because when you installed that Tampa 2 in Tampa, within – 5 or 6 years, half the league is playing your defense, essentially. And it's changed over the years. I kind of laughed that you got a question about, like, what do you think about the new too high safety trend, like, taking shape of the league? And you were just like, do you know who I am? Like, what I wanted to ask was, like, how is your Tampa 2, though, and your defense now different than it was 20 years
ago?
Did
you really hit him with that?
In a laughing way, but he did.
Well, I was just joking with him, of course.
Yes.
But everyone pause so you could Google my name, sir. We will wait.
Well, because I just think that cover two in general. Now, you know, most games are won based – I'm talking defensively based on whether you can play man coverage. You have to be able to play man coverage, but there's zone coverage involved. And whether it's man coverage, 3D, you're playing quarters, the corners are some positions by themselves. The receivers are too good. That's why cover two. We in our family of defense feel like cover two has to be a part of the defensive package. And most defenses in the NFL have some form of cover two. I don't know if I've ever gone into a game without having some form of cover two.
I've always wondered, when you're calling a game on defense, offense, how many people are screaming in the headset while you're trying to run the show down on the sideline?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people, but there's a lot of people also screaming in the stands. You have to be able to lock in, of course, and have tone vision a little bit. But, we have a process we go through, and everybody know their role a little bit, but that's not much of an issue.
Well, Lovie Smith, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. We hope there's resolution at quarterback, and then it feels like then the franchise could really move forward, and it sounds like that could happen soon, but we're in a waiting position. But good luck to you this season.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Lovie.
There goes Lovie Smith. And also, it's time to say goodbye to Connie Fox, who is such a busy woman that you have to head over across the street to Lucas Oil Stadium. But we wanted to thank you. You've said it all.
You know what? And I brought all the gifts. I'm going to leave the Pringles out specifically. No?
I mean, I don't know. Are
you worried, though, that the people across the street who you're showing up a half hour late for to do this podcast are going to realize where they are in the pecking order versus the Around the NFL podcast?
It's something I've thought about, yes, and I'm going to have to smooth some things over, but I can handle that.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you at the old steakhouse tonight.
All right, later.
See ya. There goes Connie, and let's keep the show rolling here. Lovie Smith, nice dude.
Liked him.
He's gotten three big chairs now. It doesn't happen a lot. And he certainly knows this is going to be his last shot to make it happen. He went to a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, against the Colts.
He's part of a
driving rain.
Historic game. He really – that's why I hate that phrase. Like, you got to put people in the Hall of Fame if you can't tell the story of football without them. It's like
– You hate that or you like that?
I don't like that because, okay. I would say that's kind of true of Lovie Smith. I don't think you need to put him in the Hall of Fame, but I think it's true. He's sort of – an well, architect
depends
of
how detailed your
you
story
should,
of
you should have brought
is.
That up to the during
an,
the interview.
An
that
architect of a defense
well.
That changed the league and was part of the first Super Bowl with two black head coaches. It's very
Dungy,
rare
yeah.
for a black head coach to get a third crack. It's almost never happened. Only white coaches almost have gotten that opportunity over time. So he's been a part of our lives, especially in the NFL for the last 25 years.
Who is the last head coach that got a third job?
Period. Any head coach?
Yeah.
Well, this is why
Ricky?
This is why Win West's
right.
toaster was hard. Sometimes when
it's
you ask on the spot,
while Ricky finds out that information, let's throw it to our next conversation. Yes, a favorite of Chris Wessling, a man that helped rebuild the Bengals. Duke Tobin, take it away, us. All right, this is very exciting. We are happy to be joined by Director of Player Personnel for the reigning AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals. It's Duke Tobin. Still, as a lifelong football fan, a little strange to say that. The Bengals have gone from a place where they were long for a lot of fans, also-ran status, to now becoming a superpower almost overnight. How does it feel to be a primary architect behind that happening?
Well, we had something else in mind just other than just being AFC champ. Mm. So, you know, you get the taste of it. You want to get back. You want to finish it. And so our focus isn't on where we've been. It's not about the past. It's where we are right now and where we're going. And but, yeah, it feels good. I'm happy for our players. We had a lot of players that kind of came together and really played for each other, and the culture that Zach's brought is great. And so it's nice when that's rewarded on the field.
We had Brandon Bean on the show, and he was talking about, you know, the way their season ended in heartbreaking fashion against the Chiefs before you slayed the Chiefs. Have you been able to go back and kind of absorb the Super Bowl and how that ended?
Not really. No, I know how it ended.
Yeah,
right. You're aware.
I don't know that there's much to do about it.
Right, I
got you.
But
it ended, and we moved on. And is it easy? It's not easy to move on. I don't know if I'm thoroughly over it yet, but I get up in the morning and my feet shuffle and here I go. So that's about where
wow.
I am with it. But no, I haven't dwelled on it. I don't go back and grind on the tape and see what could have been. I know
it's
what
healthy.
Was. Yeah.
Well, it's such a quick turnaround. Not to make it all about us, but it really hurt that taking that extra week out of the season. You add one on the back end, then you take it out of what normally would be a couple of quiet weeks, yeah. And then you guys are going straight from the Super Bowl. Here it's only 2 weeks apart. Like. What are those 2 weeks been like trying to catch up?
Yeah, it's your team evaluation. You're planning for free agency. You're planning for the combine. You know, our scouts have been working at it, so they're up to speed on what's going on. But you can't dwell on what just happened. You got to just grind forward and see where you're going. And but yeah, there's not a lot of time. It's a long season, and our players deserve a rest for sure.
For so many years, the Bengals were categorized as not spenders in free agency, smaller scouting department, maybe doing things a little atypically to some of the other NFL teams. But in recent years, that's completely changed. You spent a lot of money last offseason and then the year before. What happened inside the Bengals organization to take on this new approach?
I don't know. On the spending thing, I know what's said. I don't know that that's really ever been the truth. Over the past, the beginning of the last CBA, over the different tranches in that, we've been an upper half of the league spending team. And so I know what's said. I don't know why it's said. But cash to players, we're spending on players, and we continue to do it. Sometimes we spend on our own. Each team's different. Sometimes you have to spend to keep your own. Sometimes you have to go out and recruit others. And so we've gone out and recruited others because our team demanded that. And this year it'll be a blend. It'll be a blend of trying to get our guys back that we know and like, and going out and seeing if there's guys that can advance the ball for us. But in terms of our scouting staff size, it fits for what we do. It's what I want. I like working closely with guys. I like having a tight-knit group. I like relying on the people that we have. I like letting them grow in their role and feeling a sense of importance to what we do. So if you got the right people, you don't need a ton of people. Now, you need a ton of people if you don't have the right ones. And then good luck determining who
That's how we do this show.
How do you determine who to listen to if you have a ton of people and you don't trust any of them? But if you got a small group that you trust, you know who to listen to.
You think you'll spend a lot again this year? Because you got a lot of cap space again. Well, some starting spots.
We will use the resources we have to make our team the best we can make it. And we've never had restrictions in that area, and we'll continue to do that. But it's going to be a blended approach because we got guys that we want back. We've got a number of guys that we want back, and so we'll see if we can make that happen.
That's a director of player personnel answer that you just got.
Right. Very
so you got
savvy.
Served
yeah,
by
savvy.
Duke Tobin. It's interesting because everyone looks at how this season, not just how it ended, but the playoffs that Joe Burrow struggled to stay on his feet. He got taken out a lot in the divisional playoffs, happened again in the Super Bowl. So there is this oversimplification that comes from bozos like us to say, that's it, Bengals, fix your offensive line, and you'll be right back in the big game. But at the same time, it is oversimplified, Duke. But isn't it also kind of true that it is the offensive line that you have to focus in on and improve to take the offense and the team to that next level?
Yeah, the thing, I'll give you a player personnel director answer on this one too, because I know you like it. But here's the thing. Yes, the sack numbers were up. But the other data to look at is we had two receivers go over 1,000 yards, a third almost. We had a running back go over 1,000 yards. Our quarterback led the league in passer rating, or maybe he was second. We were a top 10 scoring team. And our yards per play, we were a top 10 yards per play team. So the offensive line factors in all of that success as well. So, yes, there is the piece of sacks, but there's a lot of productivity in between those sacks. And so we've got guys we believe in and want to work with. And, yes, will we go out and see if we can get better? Absolutely. We're going to go out and see if we can get better at every position. But that's every off season. That's what we do. So, yes, is it something that we're going to look closely at and see if we can improve? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit and say that the offensive line is the reason we didn't finish the last 2 minutes of the
sure.
Super Bowl. But they all have one thing in common. They're all AFC champions. And my hat's off to them for the job that they did.
There is, because everything you're saying is true about the production of the offense was excellent. I think, and we've talked about it on the podcast, we love watching Burrow. He's such a great, exciting, charismatic guy that you actually get where he has the serious knee injury year one. He takes more sacks than any other quarterback in the history of the playoffs. Now, they played four games, obviously. Played four games, so that factors in as well. But just the idea of, yes, he's going to produce because he's a baller and that offense is great around him, but how do we protect him so he doesn't have his career impacted by all these hits?
Well, I've seen Aaron Donald play against other teams other than us.
fair.
And we kind of had murderer's row on defensive line on our path in the playoffs, and those guys do it to other teams other than just us. So maybe part of that is if we don't have to play Aaron Donald and Chris Jones.
Avoid those guys.
You know, Oakland's outside edge guys. We had Tennessee's defensive line was one of the very best in the league. And so our guys had a tough, tough chore. And hats off to Joe for hanging in there and making it work with a very tough chore for an offensive line to deal with.
One thing I loved about the Bengals this year was how you handled your own division. I mean, just absolutely taking the Ravens apart twice. I mean, you've been there for so long yourself.
Just a Browns fan, by the way.
He's a Browns fan, so he enjoyed you guys taking the Steelers and the Ravens out.
I think it was just like it was a long time coming, and something about it felt like sports justice on some level. But was there a time for you maybe when those games were happening compared to where we were in September thinking, oh, damn, this team is good? In the summer, there were a lot of these narratives about, you know, all this stuff. You maybe took the wrong guy in the first round, all these other things. Everything kind of panned out well for the Bengals. You were healthy. You peaked. But was there a moment where you just said, we're sitting on something special here?
We felt that early in camp with our team and how the unit was coming together. And I think how people rally around Joe and how the defense was starting to form up and play as a real unit. And so we felt it very early. You know, the plan is always to win your division. And, you know, we got nothing but respect for Baltimore and Pittsburgh, believe me.
Right.
They're great organizations.
Didn't hear Cleveland mentioned there, but that's okay.
Well, we didn't beat Cleveland twice. We actually lost to Cleveland both times. Mm-hmm. So, but your question on Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that's the plan. We respect them a lot more to know that that's not going to be the norm. We're going to have to battle with those guys, and you know, it's it'll be fun.
Don't try to put Duke in the corner. You can't put Duke in the corner.
I attempted to. It didn't work.
You failed.
Yeah.
What is it like about Ja'Marr Chase that makes him so special? Because he's someone like we've watched, and it's almost like I'm not sure what he does that makes defenders look so bad. Like how he gets that open, because it's not like just pure speed, it's not like raw athleticism maybe all the time, and yet I would put that rookie season with any rookie season in the history of the NFL alongside Randy Moss.
Well, he is fast and he is athletic,
right?
I'll tell you that.
I just mean like there are other receivers that way, and he elevates himself in a different way.
Of all the traits that you need, and he really lacks for none of them. And the strength in his play is really important, because he can run through jams, he can run through guys on his hip pocket, and I think the confidence level he plays with, and then obviously you know the cohesion he has with our quarterback, which was important to us, and he's obviously got that, and they have a real vision together when they're out on the field, and it's just kind of natural for him, but. He really doesn't lack in any kind of physical trait, and then his confidence is great.
Do you feel like you can kind of like kick your feet up and not worry about your skill position players? This entire group is going to be going up against those Browns, and they're signed through 2024 at the least. Higgins, Boyd, Chase, Burrow, Mixon, all together at least for three more years.
Does this seem like a kick your feet up on the
right,
table
that,
kind
that's
of
a
person?
Pretty rare. That's no. You know, though, that's a pretty rare thing for a team to have all those young players all together locked up long term.
And we're happy that they're with us, and the plan is for them to be as successful as any, you know, quadruplet or whatever it is, you know, and you put Tyler Boyd in there as well, and you know, CJ Uzama and Drew Sample, you played really big roles in what we do, and yeah, it does feel good, but we're never satisfied. If we can get better, we're going to try to get better. If we can add a piece that'll give us a niche that we think will make us more explosive or harder to defend against, we'll do that. And same on defense. I mean, we've got a lot of guys up that we want to get back because we think the unit's cohesive. But you know, it's every year is a slog. I think we got 46 guys under contract, so we got a long way to go before we get to 90.
I don't want to break news on your behalf, but I feel like one position you will not attempt to upgrade this offseason is kicker. let's talk about Duke Tobin and the Bengals knocking their draft out of the park. Ja'Marr Chase was a brilliant receiver in year one. He wasn't even the best player in the draft relative to position because Evan McPherson was perfect, especially when it mattered most. In January, I know obviously you thought highly of him to take him in the fifth round because a lot of teams don't even do get into that business. Yeah. But I mean, talk about something having a vision and then it hitting exactly how you want. Can't beat what McPherson gave you.
Really an impressive guy to be around because he is tough as nails. He just doesn't get rattled ever, and that's what we saw. And he certainly got all the physical traits you want. And in my humble opinion, we've really got the best special teams coordinator in the league and guy that can instill confidence in guys, fix problems when they come up, and you know, in Darren Simmons, and so that combination was fantastic. So yeah, we probably won't be adding at that spot. If you have one, you have enough.
Evan McPherson is the player that made me realize that I'm very old because he looks 13 to me.
Yeah.
Well, he was kicking in an Alabama high school like 4 years ago, and now he rules the world. But let me try to make a headline here. But how about Evan McPherson watching the halftime show at the Super Bowl? That's just inappropriate and unacceptable, right, Duke?
I didn't see it, so I didn't see it.
It was worth seeing. I wonder if you have any stories of like Bengals fans over the last month, because
unbelievable.
We have an experience. You know, we had a co-host on our show and who was no longer with us. He was a big fan of yours. Actually, wrote a great article about you. I remember like 6 years ago,
Chris Wessling.
Chris Wessling building how you built up that first roster in 2015. You know, you've been with a couple coaches now in Cincinnati. But we had all his brothers come to the Super Bowl to watch you guys, and just meeting all the Bengals fans that were out there for the game. I don't know. There was some sort of joy and something special about him. I didn't know if you had any stories about what it was like.
It was awesome to put our fans on display for the world to see, because now the world knows what we know. They're football savants. They love the Cincinnati Bengals, and they'll show up. And it was in Tennessee, the crowd we had at that game, and then afterwards, you know, it was fantastic. The amount of people that were still in the stadium cheering for us at the end of the Kansas City game was fantastic. I mean, just really impressive. And then out at the Super Bowl, it was Houday Nation out there. So, you know, just it was great to see the world recognize, you know, what we know about our fans.
They were still happy afterwards. That was the thing that got me. Like, they were just like, well, we made it here. This was fun. They were still in a good mood afterwards. It is something.
It's crazy. I'm a Jets fan, full disclosure, and I've never been able to enjoy going to a Super Bowl. But walking the concourse at the game and seeing all the fathers and sons, and we're talking like middle-aged men with their elderly fathers, and you're thinking this might have been the first time they've experienced a Super Bowl together, and like – there's a lot of responsibility on someone like you and on the head coach, because these teams are like the fabric of the community in a lot of ways. So I'm sure, as disappointing as the way the game ended, you gave people that experience in a lot of ways. So good job.
We feel that. I mean, we know we're beholden to the city and to our fans. And that's, you know, we do the best work we can. We work as hard as we can because we want the product to be something that they're proud of. And our fans have been great.
Do you get noticed around town?
No, I'm pretty incognito. I normally
you got the hat on right now too.
I normally wear a hat, and just kind of bald, hide my bald head. I got in a fight with my dermatologist, so he got the better of me before I came. So,
well, you got to listen to the dermatologist. Yeah. Duke, thanks so much for coming on, and best of luck this off season and everything that's to come in 2022.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right, there goes Duke Tobin. I like the cut of his jib, Cecil.
Easy to get along with. It concerns me that most of these guys now seem about half a decade younger than I am. They used to seem like adults, and I was a child. But I can see why Wes dug him. I think that he has got incredible, like, historical, organizational data on the Bengals. He's been there through it all, and he's got to be feeling himself right now in that city.
He's 5 years older than you, buddy. How about that?
Very unassuming in that hat,
Well, I just
too.
Felt older.
It wasn't like an expensive hat either. It was just kind of the one that they gave him, I think.
Well, he said he'd been to the dermatologist, so I think maybe it had something going on there.
Protect the old
noggin. Exactly.
Speaking of Chris Wessling, that was something he learned. You have to protect the dome when you shave it down. All right. What?
Alrighty.
All right, here we go. All right, this is – I know it's been an action-packed show, but we've saved the juiciest breakdown of the draft you could possibly find on the internet. For last, you're going to enjoy it. Let's welcome in right now Matt Moneysmith and Lance Zierlein right after this break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert.
Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
And here they are. Lance Zierlein, Matt Money Smith. They'll be anchoring the NFL Network coverage throughout the Combine. And now they join us on the Around the NFL podcast. And, boys, we had a nice dinner out.
Yeah.
Salt on Mass. Mm-hmm. Greg and Mark weren't there, but it wasn't because they were left out. It's just the way it happened.
They weren't invited.
And we were organically not invited.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have thought about it, but then you just made it into a total lie.
Just so you know how Dan managed to join us. Yeah. Lance and I were walking out, and Dan comes strutting in, his chest all puffed out.
With
he's
food.
Got a steak and shake.
He's got
and
food
like,
with him.
I go, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just going to go up in my room, mash this burger. It's like, we're going out to dinner. Why don't you come with us?
I had an whole game plan because Mark and I had a couple at the hotel lobby right after our taping on Tuesday, and they said, all right, I'm going to slow it down a little bit. I'm going to smash the burger or steak and shake burger, and then I'll be back at 9 o'clock. Then we see these two guys in the lobby, and I go out, and we had a nice time.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Dan's tipping point came at about 1, Ricky, what was it, 1:30? Okay, about 1:30 when I say, hey, we're all going to go, and Connie was with us. It was a great crew. It was Colleen and Sarah and and I'm like, hey, we're all ready to go. And Dan goes, we don't have time for one more? I was like, because he had bought the previous round, so I think intimating I'm some sort of cheapskate. I'm like,
sure,
I'll buy you one more, fine. So I go to the bar. I get him his vodka soda.
Oh, you got me that. Okay.
And so I hand it to him, and I'm like, well, I guess we're having one more.
I feel like we're talking about a different guy right now because this is very interesting, the story.
And and I know it's an audio format, but perhaps you guys can help me with the visuals. So Dan gets the drink, and he's got his empty in this hand, and he carefully aligns the bottom of the glass and drops it into the empty. And then he takes a sip.
Bad one.
And I see him go, struggle to swallow it, and then he just looks. I'm telling you, he looked at the Tito's and soda for the next 10 minutes. And I finally go, are we ready to go now? He's like, yeah, we're ready to go.
That's atypical for Dan. Dan is typically, you wouldn't know how many
because
he's had. And the Irish goodbye is out of there usually.
I had my game plan.
Yeah.
And the game plan never fails. But then when I audibled, that took the night in a different direction.
I'd say that was probably your 15th.
Stay with the call. Stay with the called plays. The audibles often do not work.
Yeah, off script.
But he was a pleasant drunk.
Yes. I had a great time with you guys.
It was fun.
And again, as we said at the top of the show, it's not about what happens the night before. If the real pro is Combine Week, you get up the next day and you perform on the stage of ours, which
exactly
is what we're
right.
doing.
Right, we had a 2 p.m. call time, so I don't know
helps.
If that's yeah. – you know,
that like, helps so much.
It's right. like a regular war hero over here.
I saw Greg in the gym this morning. He barely paid attention to me. I was like, hey, Rosie. He's like, boom. You just kept walking right by.
Oh,
me.
No, like, no, what? No. I haven't seen these guys for 2 years. I come back in, and there's a new alpha on the set, and it's Greg Rosenthal. Yeah. Like, I don't know what happened over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Something has happened that Greg has usurped all of you guys' power.
Very hungry for power. That's
never been
true.
Nothing's happening. We are taping this in such a way that Lovie Smith is coming up soon. You're having a very nice conversation off to the side, which we all get caught in right now.
Sure.
We're friends. We've been friends long enough, Lance, that I knew
what'd
I would
you say?
That you wouldn't
stretch.
Be bothered
say,
by
though?
Just hearing
just
me
reenact
say,
it.
Like, Lance, let's go.
That's exactly what you said.
And I said, I think yes, sir.
And, it,
and I
all,
came up, and I jumped up.
We were all taken aback, but at the same time, Greg, and I've been noting this recently, you've had these random acts of masculinity that keep popping up lately.
I like that.
And this is just another one in the list. So something has changed, I believe.
They're not realms. They're realms. Random acts of masculinity. Yeah. They're not realms. They're realms.
There's something that happens. It's very special in every young man's life when they turn 43. They become a man.
That's exactly what
happens. That's what happens.
Not to suggest you weren't masculine, but possibly to suggest that previously.
There's a curve. It's going up. All right.
All right.
Ben,
here we go.
Let's talk football. Let's talk combine. Lance, you're... I don't know why money doesn't have one. I don't know what's going on.
But I was assigned one last night at about 12:30 a.m.
All right,
and dead serious. Can you do a mock draft for us? I was like, it's 12:30 and we're at prime. But I guess so. Yeah.
Post haste.
So keep an eye out for the Matt Money Smith mock. But right
you
now,
ask the coaches while you're in prime.
I know, right?
They're there.
Looking at Lance's 1.0, and we go up to what, 5?
I'm only going to go to 3.
I like that. That's an alpha move.
I've got one coming after the combine, though.
Loser.
So this one is just kind of a whatever mock.
Right. I do mine after the draft.
Yeah, it's always.
Love it.
So I shouldn't get – sometimes I worry. I still have nightmares about the Eric Fisher, Luke Jokel draft. When I see Evan Neal, Alabama tackle number one, is that telling me this isn't going to be a fun draft? Or is he just such a great fit for the Jags that that's where we start and there's still plenty of fun players to get to as we go through this adventure?
I don't know I would call this draft fun, Bob. this is not what I would call a fun draft. I think it's a draft, a necessary. This draft is like when your grandma would buy you socks. You need the socks.
Need them.
You know, you need the notebook paper or whatever.
Way to sell it, Lance.
But this is
socks and notebook paper.
This draft is about things you need.
I can't wait for this thing to start.
I'm not saying there are not luxury items that are available to be had in this draft. I'm just saying when you start having tackles that are slotted number one, it's a nuts and bolts draft based on need at the top, and that's what this is. And I think the flashy stuff comes in the middle of the, like, I actually think the top 5 or 6, the fun stuff to me begins in like the middle of the first round is when a lot of the fun stuff happens. And I think there's some really high upside players to be had in the second and third rounds of the draft. And so while, you know, we're not going to have the headliner for my grading scale 7.0 or higher, what I think we have is we happen to have for hardcore football fans and draft people, there's some really intriguing talent in this draft. It just happens to live in rounds 2 through 4, I think, the most intriguing.
Yeah, but the Fisher and Jokel year, people weren't that high on them then.
They weren't.
No.
Like, that was, like, people said, and they were right, going into that draft, this might be one of the worst drafts we've ever seen, and it turned out to be. Almost no one out of the top 15 made an impact in that draft. But I don't get the feel that that's the case in 2022 at all.
No,
it's just
people,
not as many headliners.
People like they like Neal. He's giant. He's nimble. He's going to be fine.
He's going to test good.
And they have a quarterback. Eventually. You know. And I think if put it this way, if Nick Bosa were coming out this year and he was the number one pick, would you be like, is there sizzle there? It's not a quarterback, but
yes.
Yes. Yeah, there would be. And I think so. You need pass rushers. You need guys that'll protect against those pass rushers, and you need quarterbacks. That is the foundation of football success. So in the case of the Jaguars, they need someone to protect their number one pick who got wrecked last year, and it's the way it lines up. And, you know, when you don't have a quarterback there, it's hard to trade out. You're not going to get enough value, I think, to trade back, and that's kind of where you then maybe start talking about the notebook paper socks sort of character of the draft.
Yeah, and that's why the Texans – you know, the guy to me that's the most fun in this whole draft is a safety, and that's not typically going to be something that sizzles. But how often do you have a guy who's 6'4", who's going to grow into a 230-pound frame, who can play as a linebacker over a tight end like a guy like Travis Kelce, a guy who can play on the back end like he's a single high safety, or someone who can play in the box? He's a freight train as a hitter. He is a talented cover man. He's a good football, high football character guy. A guy who's going to be good in the locker room.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
He's Kyle Hamilton.
Right. Make sure I say that. Yeah. Thank you.
It was the buildup.
No, go ahead.
And you have a mock to the Jets at 4. And yeah. I think I took, you know, our team took our team. Jamal Adams, number 6. We talked about last night at dinner. Isaiah Simmons, another hybrid guy that maybe hasn't fulfilled expectations, but this guy's different.
He's a safety. Isaiah Simmons was becoming a lot. Kyle Hamilton's going to play
Kyle's
safety.
A big safety. He's like if you went all the way back to like David Fulcher. I mean, he's an old school 220-plus pound hitter who happens to be a great athlete and who's diverse enough to cover. So I think, you know, from a sizzle standpoint, safeties don't typically do it. But when you watch his – I showed you last night, Dan, some of the hits that he has. He's a real dude now. He will come up and smack you, but he's also versatile. So I've got him as my highest-rated player in this draft. The thing is, you're not drafting safeties first.
That is a true story, by the way, Ricky. We were having dinner in the middle of our
main course.
That's
how our dinners happen.
Dan was eating his chicken fried chicken with jalapeno gravy. Ooh. And Lance
and
says,
I said, Dan, I think you need to see this.
But what did you
mid-bite?
Say? You said, watch this. I'm going to search. Kyle Hamilton hits like a train.
And then yes. Handed Twitter, him the phone, Lance.
And there was the
video. And he was laying out, dude. It's like a video game.
And I had audio over it I put in myself. I was pretty proud of that.
That was pretty nice.
And then we had a hot draft.
Just push a T.
We had a hot draft argument between us about whether or not he'd be available at four.
Yeah.
He might be, he's probably the best player in the draft, and maybe the Texans take him at three just because he's that Derwin James kind of difference maker that can really remake a defense.
I think Greg and I missed the event of the year here, potentially. I have a man crush already.
Mark's level of annoyance is rising.
What? I know. I am starting to do my homework.
With a stand-up comedian also waiting on us, so you did miss quite a soiree.
I can tell. I'll attempt to make up for it tonight.
Mark's rage index and Greg's masculinity index both going up like this.
Why? What
is
do you suggest?
Venn diagram now?
Right.
Mark wanted nothing more than to be left alone for dinner last night, and he was. Think everyone got what they wanted.
I do what I want, and that's what I want. That's how that unfolded.
Speaking of alpha male, you got Kenny Pickett, 11, Lance.
Yeah.
Obviously, let me ask you this way. Kenny Pickett's in last year's draft, which was much more fruitful quarterback-wise. Is he a top 25 first-round pick?
No. No. He is in the discussion with Davis Mills. And he goes ahead of Davis Mills. Kenny Pickett would have been the for sure next guy up. I think he would have been drafted ahead of Kyle Trask. So I think Kenny Pickett.
So he would have been a sixth quarterback.
He would have been a second round pick.
Yes, he would have been a second round pick. I think he would have been a top.
Another huge selling point for this draft.
I think he would have been a top 40. A top 40 pick. So
wait,
I mean,
but
that's
don't you
not
think?
Bad.
Like I know we're looking at mocks and everything. It's early for that. Who do you think in the pre-draft process? Because there's always a quarterback that rises. Has a chance to for everyone to fall in love with. Because it seems like that the tape heads just think Malik Willis's ceiling is going to be higher and that he seems like the logical guy that is going to go way higher than anyone is projecting, at least in January and February.
Well, I think he is because – but it's not because of anything on tape. His tape's not all that good, to be honest with you. I mean, three different games with three interceptions. The second half of the year was really terrible, frankly. It wasn't good. But the thing is, he has rare – size, arm strength. His arm talent's like Jay Cutler arm talent, which is really, really high. I know Jay Cutler's for some reason kind of a bad word now, but Jay Cutler was ridiculously talented coming out and could throw the ball from slots and platforms that other people couldn't. And then he is a better runner than Jalen Hurts. And this is my thing. Like I started thinking about – this came to me when I was – writing up Lamar Jackson back in 18.
Like a diamond bullet right between the eyes.
I said, you know, Lamar.
Here I was sitting and it hit.
So here I was, 2018. I'm at my grandmother's house in Kansas writing up Lamar Jackson.
Wearing the socks you gave
as it were. Yeah. And then what happened was I started thinking, you know, yeah, Lamar's completion percentage. And I realized I just watched the Astros win a World Series completely legally and fairly.
Don't start.
And I thought, you know, one of the things in baseball, they care less about strikeouts now, and they care a lot more about home runs. And when you think of it that way, Lamar Jackson's a home run hitter who's going to strike out some. But you live with the strikeouts because you get the home runs. And when you look at it that way, Malik Willis's flaws that he has right now, you can never go wrong with a guy who is an elite runner. And he's an elite runner because even when they don't throw the ball, they find ways to beat you. And, I mean, he is a really fantastic runner. Not to – Lamar's level, but just below it. And then from an arm talent standpoint, I think he has better potential than Lamar Jackson as a thrower. But Lamar was more consistent coming out of Louisville. So that's why
– They built their entire team around Lamar. Like, that's the problem. So if you draft Malik Willis, are you going to make that kind of commitment, one? Or two, is there a bridge – like, that's why the free agency process and, like, what we heard today was so depressing for those of us that want to see franchise quarterback movement. It sounds like we're not going to get any of it. So I think that's kind of where that's why, like, to me, there is some interest because it does feel like this group of people likes Pickett. This group of people likes Willis. I think there's a group of people that like Matt Corral the most out of all these quarterbacks that feel like he's kind of the athletic. He's got great arm talent. So Like, that to me is – that does add some intrigue.
Well, I don't know where guys are going.
And that's the thing. I don't know if they're going to go in the first round.
I just wrote an article for NFL.com. Every year that's – it's the same article. They plug a different quarterback. Here are the potential fits for Tua. Here are the potential fits for Willis. But the thing that I found when I was writing it, with Tua, I had like three or four guys, and then that with three or four teams, and that was it. With Willis, I don't know. I mean, my leaders in the clubhouse were Washington and Pittsburgh, and then just below that in a different level.
You have Pittsburgh trading up for
I think if he falls, I think Pittsburgh would consider trading up because I think that Kevin Colbert wants – I think it's a very interesting storyline to see if Colbert in his last draft does what Ozzie did in his last draft
with
Baltimore.
We asked him about it on the show yesterday.
And his
whether
thoughts?
He felt any pressure. He didn't
He gave
really,
us very little
He laughed
information
at the question and then didn't really answer it.
Because you're cute.
You want to laugh at a question? Try this one on for size. Yeah. Ready? Would you rather have any of these quarterbacks in the draft or Mitchell Trubisky?
Oh. That's a –
Oh, God.
Gross.
That's awful destiny.
What is happening? We've avoided
Socks
the weird.
And
I saw your tweet earlier. I did it just to twist your nipples a little bit. That's why I asked him the question.
It's like, what happened? Like, Mitchell Trubisky didn't play a year, and then everyone who never gave up on the Mitchell Trubisky could actually be good has come storming back
this
offseason.
Ryan
it's like,
is pumping his fist.
I don't want to have to answer it.
It's like, he'll,
now you gotta answer it.
Like, he'll marry your daughter while throwing for 6.3 yards per attempt.
Yes, he will. Now, his. You know, it's interesting because Mitchell Trubisky is almost in that Kirk Cousins level of his stats are way better than you think they are based on what people say about the guy. They were way better than I thought. I got in an argument with my co-host on the radio, and he's like, Mitchell Trubisky's not that bad. I said, not that bad. But it's also he was the second pick of the draft. So, you know.
And the Mahomes factor.
And obviously. The Mahomes right.
And
Deshaun
that we
Watson.
Watched him play 50 games. And that by watching those games, you could see he was not nearly as good as those stats.
And the stats are irrelevant. But he is the next one. Everyone has this hope for a backup quarterback. And so the hope is maybe there's a resurrection of Mitchell Trubisky. I would rather have somebody from this draft than
Mitchell
Trubisky.
I'd quicker wait for Jesus to come back around.
Right. I feel like Malik Willis might get a little bit of the – I think everyone thinks you can find a Josh Allen now. Like – just that you can, if you have that level of talent, don't worry about some of the tape and some of the numbers, and you can build the thing around
so
it.
So you said
well,
something.
Remember, the pendulum swung away from that for a minute. Everybody was like, we got to stop basing this on traits. We got to look at accuracy and make.
But coming off of these playoffs, especially 100%. When he looked like the best player.
But
I've
remember
ever seen.
When it was back to back small quarterbacks, when it went, okay. Baker Mayfield, and Baker played well that first year, and then it's like, okay, Kyler Murray, we can buy into smaller quarterback from a system, we can buy into it. Now Baker has if Baker and Kyler, and let's say Matt Corral was in a draft immediately preceding those two, Matt Corral would be a more talked about quarterback right now because everyone would, their subconsciously would, because money hit the point. Right now, off the Josh Allen, the year of Josh Allen, Malik Willis
Justin
is the
Herbert
guy. And Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
Malik Willis traits. Is the one who fits into it a little bit more than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. So, obviously, 2 years ago, Justin Jefferson blows up Ja'Marr Chase, obviously, this year. Now, we're being told that this is not a draft that has that type of transcendent talent. But in our league, it's not unusual now for a rookie to pop off immediately and be a big-time player. Is there a skill player, tight end, wide receiver, that you can see stepping into the right offense and becoming a Pro Bowl player?
It feels like it's a good wide receiver draft.
Seems like
it's got
deep.
Some depth. Yeah, it's got some depth. I don't. The last 2 years were way deeper. I thought last year was a fantastic wide receiver draft. See, I think Chris Olave is a guy who can work all three levels of the field and can be a possession guy, a touchdown guy, a speed guy. He strikes me as one that could do that. I think, you know, Jameson Williams 100% could have been if he were healthy. So for, you know, fantasy football guys, from a dynasty standpoint, you obviously want to keep him in mind. But I think Garrett Wilson is going to take a little longer than some people think because he has a hard time getting off press, and that's the first thing you have to learn to do in the NFL, and sometimes it takes time. And I don't know what Money's thoughts are on this because you're on the West Coast watching
Drake
Pac-12.
London.
That's when I talked to a scout on the West Coast who loves him, and I don't see a guy who I think runs very fast. I don't see a guy who separates. But for me as an evaluator, I watched DeAndre Hopkins just murder the league, and you could have said similar
100%.
Things. But I thought he was a little bit more sudden with some of his movements. And so I don't know where to place a 6'5" receiver who wins all the jump balls.
He's just so explosive. I mean, I think that's the thing is the juice doesn't show up, but like, what's the old Marty Schottenheimer line? He's going to be eating Doritos off your head. Yeah, I mean, that's what Drake London
I
is.
Saw a dunk the other day. I saw a windmill dunk.
540.
And I was like, okay.
That's what I'm saying. He's got that kind of explosion.
I immediately wanted
body.
To go rewrite the scouting report because yeah. I said, okay, I need to go put that magic word
I think he's
explosive.
Gonna show out.
I need to put explosive.
How about
in
this
there?
Wide receiver? I was listening to him today. He is someone that grew up watching Westerns with his great grandparents. The Good, Bad, and the Ugly was one of the first movies he ever saw. He had a huge game against Alabama. He spent times hunting. He hunted pigs with a knife. Traylon Burks. This
Arkansas,
is my dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mark's notes. Just in case he forgot, he put in green highlighted words next to Traylon Burks, man crush.
Love it.
He just seems to fit in that sweet
spot. No one was
spot
ever
in the middle.
Supposed
right.
to see that document.
He didn't trust himself to remember that. But it just,
he was like number one on a bunch of lists at the start of this whole process.
He's still number one.
He's still your number one guy?
People who don't have him number one, they don't know what they're doing.
See, you got the right
Traylon Burks,
crush.
You We're got good. The right crush.
Good.
Okay. A, I didn't know he hunted a hog with his bare hands and a knife.
That's
so
awesome.
I just raised him to number four on my list. So thank you for that information.
That's, by the way, the next thing Greg will be doing as his alpha male tendencies ramp up.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
not lose control on that front.
Now, the Westerns things, I'm going to back him back down a little bit. But Traylon Burks is like he's 225-ish pounds is what he's going to be. He's got more wiggle than A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is his comp, but he's got more wiggle. He's phenomenal with the ball in his hands. He's tremendously competitive, but he's a physical specimen. Like A.J. Brown, when you see A.J. out there, and everyone comes up with the same comp, A.J. Brown. Because when you see him, guys who are 225 pounds who play like he does, you don't see a lot of those guys in the league. But he's not somebody who played in the slot. Now, he played a lot in the slot for Arkansas because that's the way they wanted to get him the ball as quickly as possible and said, go, Traylon, go. And he is – you've got the right man crush. To me, he is far and away the best wide receiver in this draft. Mm. Far and away.
How's that for sizzle?
It's good. Well, how about you, buddy?
I like it.
Who's the guy that you have a man crush on?
I have bias. I always have bias, you know? I mean, when wide receivers are like Drake London, I'm biased. I like that I fight for the West Coast. We don't get enough attention when it comes to college football conversation. Yet California produces the best players. It drives me crazy. Burks is impressive. I mean, he's going to be all muscly, and people are going to get excited. He's going to put up big numbers. The tight end group is good. Who am I going to mention? Greg Dulcich, because it's the West Coast.
West Coast. But he's going to run really fast.
He's going to run crazy fast. So,
is there anyone in the next couple of days, you know, we're taping this before the you know, the combine events start, that you think will just, like, become the story because of what they put out there?
Well, I think Greg Dulcich is one of those guys from UCLA because DJ's getting hot on him now. And so it's going to roll downhill because DJ's going to be talking about him a lot. He's going to run really fast. And then
tell us how that bothers you.
You're going to – I mean, listen, DJ
– with disdain.
Listen, DJ listen. Deserves all the credit he gets. Yeah. But the thing is, a lot of people – he has to step on a lot of people's backs to get all the way.
Wow.
And
I know,
he's no, the wholesome listen, assassin.
Wow, listen, I know he – did you see him come in today with the sweater just to give it a little like, hey, it's just me, guys. And I know he's got beef with you guys, I assume.
I'm not touching sure. that. I'm going to take off my headset. And while you keep that up, I got to get out of here.
You know, that
does
is the voice of the Chargers, by the way. And his play-by-play man now, listen, is
– hey. I love DJ. We go back and forth on players all the time.
No, he's done a great job. Like when he put Justin Herbert 20th in the draft, he's fantastic.
Never fails, this guy. That has got to be at least the 30th time you have referenced that.
A bridge builder.
It's good to have a running
But think day. About it. Like, Lance, one heartbeat away here, you're yeah. almost in the big chair now.
No, and
Mayock
listen,
floating on the periphery
listen,
here.
I wish
sure
it,
he
I wish it
in.
Wasn't you that had the chicken fried steak with cream gravy. I wish it was Daniel Jeremiah that had it. Okay? Daniel, would you like some more of this skillet bread with butter?
I'll give you a name that no one's talking about, and it's because I saw him at the NFLPA Bowl, and from the first 5 minutes of the first practice I was at, I was like, the hell is that guy here? And it was Sam Williams of Ole Miss. And
Sam is going
to
test well.
He is going to test through the roof. He's going to get drafted in the third round and by the Chiefs, and everyone's going to be like, why did he slide? And you'll find out why he slid. And it's just like he is a complete freak of a defensive end.
He terrible against the run and a monster against the pass. Like, just really good. Another big tester is going to be from West Coast, Kyler Gordon from – so yeah. Trent McDuffie's going to test well. Kyler Gordon, I don't know if you know his background. Do you have notes on him that
You know, I did, but it's in a different file back at the hotel room.
The Wi-Fi went down.
Yeah. Listen, Cecil, let's get your highlighter out here. He was a dancer, and when I say dance, like – like at 8 years of age, they said they believed he was going to be a Broadway dancer. That's how, like, a stage dancer. He was heavily involved in Kung Fu. He was heavily involved in Kung Fu as well.
Right in the
and
stand.
He will also knock your face off. He's going to jump about 42 inches vertical. So, dancer, Kung Fu.
That sounds man crush worthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you said Broadway, I thought you were going to say the Bolshoi, and then all of a sudden Broadway came out, and I was like, Broadway?
No, Bolshoi. No, it could have been either one. I wasn't this sure is how talented going. He was.
The Texans have their man.
All right. Man, excellent. Gave us a nice taste, getting us on our feet a little bit as we try to figure out and navigate this. Follow, obviously, Lance and Money all over NFL Network and the .com. Throughout this process and
the app. Thanks. Don't forget the app, you know.
The app, of course.
A lot of action on the app.
Check
for
out
us
the
this
app.
Week. That's right.
Money, thank you for taking care of me on the way out of at Prime
we'll
last
night. We'll do it
night.
Again tonight.
Sounds good. And Lance, you're a hero. And the Astros did cheat. The Astros did cheat. Let's stop.
We're
that.
Leaving.
Listen.
No, yeah. We're not. We're getting one more. All right. Here it comes.
Are you did, sure?
You should have said no because I probably wanted to put up a fight. But anyway, then you got that story, so
yes.
You got your money's worth. All right, thank you, Lance. Money, there they go. Those men are educated on the topic at hand.
Well, even if they weren't, we wouldn't know. I mean, they're able to sell it, but we don't. I have no idea if what.
Right,
they
it would have been funny if they just decided before the segment, we're just going to throw out fake names.
Just snow us
and
under.
And we wouldn't have stopped them. Oh, yeah, you know, Kyle Grabowski.
Like, you look a little closer at the URL of his mock draft, and it's not actually NFL.com. It's like MFL.com. I was like, oh, no. No, that was good, though. It's interesting. When you start to kind of dig in and get excited with the mock drafts, with your teams and whatnot. By the way, what do you want for the Patriots to come out of the first round of the draft?
I haven't thought about that. I guess a wide receiver.
You
just
because
they keep messing it up. And one thing I was thinking about talking with Lance and Money is, like, if you're a GM, you should just draft wide receivers. The last 2 years, if you've drafted a wide receiver in the first three rounds, almost all of them have been incredible and better than their draft pick, except for N'Keal Harry. Like, literally almost everyone has outperformed their draft pick. You got, like, Terry McLaurin in the third round. You got a million different people, and they've all, like, been drafted too late. Like, all the receivers
the
are
Patriots
good,
have done
except
a bad
for
job.
N'Keal Harry.
They've
I'll
done a bad job with wideouts for ages.
And I'll raise you a Denzel Mims. It's not
– He was fine. He's been fine. Not always.
He has
but
not been
my
fine.
Point, that the hit rate's been high. The receivers have
yes,
been great.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And they need him. So that would make me most excited.
Right. Dan, well, I do have a question, though. The whole dinner thing, did you come home to a bag full of Shake Shack that you ate at a later time? You had already purchased a nice dinner.
Listen, a lot of mistakes were made last night. And all I can tell you is I paid for all of it in the morning.
Oh, all right.
But again, the true measure of a man as a broadcaster, as a pro in this city this time of year is, do you rise to the occasion the next day? Or do you stay and pull the curtains closed and call out sick?
Wait, so what time were you?
As a young journo, I witnessed some things early on in the combines before I even knew you guys that I was amazed by the performances of some people. It had a much tougher schedule than we do, put it that way.
Well, sometimes exactly it has been us, though. I mean, in the past, just to be totally accurate.
Yes. That was a tough night, but we have recovered, and I'm looking forward for our final evening in Indianapolis. It's a lot of fun here, and I do hope that we will be back eventually down the line. But it's been a fun ride here in Indy.
Probably not next year, but I expect to be back. And if we're away 1 or 2 years, that'll only make it sweeter. Like, this year is a little sweeter after missing.
Greg is a little wind-up doll that the league is going to love his answer
on.
It's true. This is the best place to do it, but they're going to change the game on us. That's what's
happening. My job, because if you don't, it takes up all of your day, and then you just don't like life.
Hmm. I still find the answer lacking authenticity, but that's we can move forward.
All right, so that's it from Indy. However, we have one more show coming this week. It's the Free Agency 101 special, Greg's annual list on .com, and we are going to pull it apart like putty, then light it on fire, then get an extinguisher out, hose it down, and then mold it back together.
Keep it safe.
Put it right back on the shelf where it was originally.
I'd like to do a 2.0. I thought about that for the first time, actually.
Interesting. Why not?
Because I immediately – I had some people responding to the 101, you know, and some people I trust, multiple people. And I immediately was like, oh, yeah, well, they're right. I should move him up or down. And it's like, right. I would like to. I have more information now.
Like Teddy Bridgewater somehow being about 70 spots higher than Andy Dalton.
That's
like there's that much difference between Teddy Bridgewater and Andy Dalton.
Save it.
Save it for Friday.
Yeah,
just
it.
So now you know it's coming, baby. Like a freight train. I can't believe what you said to Lance, by the way. Lance, let's go. You barked at him.
I mean, no one, unless you have some sort of, like, fragile ego, is going to take that personally. It was just like telling him, let's do it. Let's go.
Well, you're the former boss who sometimes forgets that you're the former boss. You don't bark at he's a coworker of yours, and when you say that nobody on the planet would be offended by that, I think,
I'm
Greg, not, that's you.
I'm
you
saying
have, you're misreading
if someone
the
is
entire
offended,
room.
That's their problem.
Oh, you're pulling the old, I'm sorry if you were offended card. It's
I'm not an actual I'm apology. Not sorry. I'm not sorry. Hey, listen, on this one.
This is what Dan and I were dealing with for half a decade, just to let the listener know.
All right, thank you, everybody, for listening. See you Friday. Until then, this is the old Zeuser, the old boss, and old Mark Sessler with Ricky Hollywood. Till Friday, you know what to do. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.